welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host this week, Andy.
Okay, first of all, my hometown, which doesn't count, barely a city. Population, current city population, 542,000. Excuse me, 542,012. Baltimore, your city, which is apparently a real city that counts, estimated population 593,490. So apparently that extra 50,000 people is what takes you from doesn't really count to real city. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to see what the qualifications are.
Yeah. No, I
need to know the line that needs to be crossed.
I said that Fresno was not a real city last week. And I mostly said that, and it has nothing to do with statistics. It's mostly because I don't believe you've ever lived in a place that matters. So I count Fresno in that.
The fifth largest city in California, the largest state, certainly population-wise.
Well,
not a landmass because, you know, Alaska exists. But the largest largest population, certainly the most important state, obviously. At number five, I mean that's top five.
No. Agree to disagree. Nobody ever talks about California being cool. No one.
No one. There's no songs about it.
Nothing.
There's no movies about it. There's no TV shows about it.
No.
People often forget about California. It's something that people like or want.
I mean, if I'm going by music, I would argue that more people get hyped about a song about the great state of Alabama more than they do about California.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever? I was going to say raisins, but you probably don't like raisins. Ah, wine. You like wine, don't you?
I do.
Well, guess where those grapes came from?
France?
Fresno.
Fresno. The raisin capital of the United States? Is that your big claim to fame?
Yeah, all the raisins come from Fresno.
I mean, in fairness, Baltimore has crabs and STDs, so like we're not really burning up the charts either.
We got raisins and meth, so there you go.
All right, that's not bad. All right.
Okay, and second of all, okay, it's not just about the fucking pitchers batting, which is also, that's fun for everybody to see Madison Bumgarner go crank one over the wall from time to time. It's about the statistical padding that comes from having a designated hitter whose only job it is to hit. That's how you get motherfuckers like Jim Tomei going up, like, his fat ass could not field a position. Too old, too fat, too slow to pick up a glove and go be in the field anymore, but he still gets to have a career for 8 more years because he can be a designated hitter and just waddle his fat ass up there, and somehow Jim fucking Tomei has 600 home runs and no one even knows who the fuck he is. Fuck the designated hitter, fuck the American League, and fuck you, Brad. Alright.
Are you ready to start? I don't know.
Let's do this podcast.
Yeah, no, I feel like I should just cut out all the beginning and just go with that. That was pretty good. you're very passionate about your American League sports.
If you're going to pick up a fucking bat, by God, you better pick up a glove.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard you as passionate, except for when it comes to alleged sex trafficker Matt Gaetz. All right, so let's get started. Wow, I didn't know that. That's funny. I didn't know that was a difference.
Well, I wasn't gonna let old American League Brad come in here and flap his gums without the other end of that argument. So
there you go.
You're welcome, NL fans. I'm here for you.
There you go. Ugh. All right, so...
Okay, you're not a baseball guy at all, but what are your thoughts?
Oh, no,
Do you care?
Until Brad said something last week, I didn't realize that only the American League had designated hitters. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. And then...
That's interesting.
And then when they do interleague play, you play by the home team's rules. But yeah, that's been the case since the 70s.
Yeah, that seems dumb.
Yeah.
That seems dumb. It should just be one way.
Different rules in each league. Yeah, I mean, it is dumb that one league decided to make up their own dumbass rule. You're correct.
I mean, it does pad a stat. That does make sense, though. Yeah.
Right?
Fuck you, Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the reasons, but mostly because of other things. But sure, let's throw this one. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie, as they say.
I mean, I get it in theory, right? Because you don't want, you know, you don't want pitchers batting for
whatever getting
reason.
Fucked up. Right.
Sure, I guess, whatever. But then you end up with all these fat fucks who haven't been like legitimately able to play, who should have retired years ago, who now they're the designated hitter, who just have to wander out there and bat a couple of times. And, oh, what's into me? Bye, guys.
Give me my money.
I hate that. I fucking hate the DH. I really do.
Wow.
Awful.
Do you want to talk about Afghanistan? It's almost as bad as the DH in the American League. It's the war in Afghanistan is the designated hitter of American wars.
No,
it's gone on far too long.
It's going to end up happening where they're going to have the DH league wide. I'm sure of it because pitchers don't want to bat other than the occasional pitcher who's good at it, like Madison Bumgarner, as I mentioned.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a fucking hoss though. Like he's literally from Hickory, North Carolina, which is the hossest town name I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, they probably force him to pitch and bat at the same time. No, put this bat in your hand while you pitch. That's how we do it down here. Like
when he played for the Giants, like I think almost as a troll, but also because he's a really good batter. There was a different guy pitching when they were in the World Series one game, but it was at the AL stadium, so they put Madison Bumgarner in as the DH, just like, hey, fuck you, we're putting in a pitcher as the designated hitter, suck our dicks. And that was
that's funny.
It was hilarious, but he was also a really good batter.
Hilarious. All right, let's get into it. Biden announces that he will remove all troops from Afghanistan. Big if true, as they say.
So just stealing ideas directly from Donald Trump now.
How convenient. he's quoted as saying, we went to Afghanistan because of a horrific attack that happened 20 years ago. That cannot be explained why we should remain there in 2021. We were attacked. We went to war with clear goals. That part's not true. We achieved those objectives. That part's not true. Bin Laden is dead and Al-Qaeda is degraded in Afghanistan. Those are true. It is time to end this forever war. Look, I'm not going to pretend that the correct answer to this is I agree. Like, yeah, we should end it. It's been 20 years. This is fucking ridiculous. And frankly, even if we have not achieved our quote unquote clear goals, which were defend freedom, you know, like end the war on terror, like those are not things. You can't win a war on jealousy. It doesn't work.
We wanted to defeat the Taliban, which is literally impossible.
Yeah. They're too embedded into the culture.
People have been trying that for decades now. Not just us. Like, lots of people have tried to defeat the Taliban. It can't be done.
No. It can't. They are a cultural entity inside Afghanistan. They just are. And there are many people who are real religious hardliners who agree with them. As crazy as that sounds.
It's half the country. It's like, it would be like somebody trying to invade America and go, we're going to defeat the Republicans in armed combat. And like, okay, well, no, you're not.
No, that's 160 million people, you know.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, right?
Yeah. And most of them have guns. Like it's that type of thing too, where it's like you could take, you know, it's not.
You could cut off a couple of heads to that Hydra, but you're never going to defeat them.
Right. You can defeat actual troops, but there's always going to be people who have that belief and you can't. It's hard to beat an idea with violence.
You can't. I mean, right? It's not even that it's hard. You can't. It's like David Cross has that joke. You can't win a war on jealousy. You can't. Yeah. Like, it's a feeling. It's a belief. You cannot beat a belief. That's why you can beat a country at a war, right? hey, we're country A and we don't like you. Come fight us country B, and one of those countries can win, right? You just kill enough people that one side goes, all right, you got it. Like, fuck it, you got it. But if it's like, I think that my religion or my aspect of my religion is correct, and I think this is how we should run our entire culture. If 50% of that culture believes that, you're never going to root it out. Like, you just can't. Right. You can't – well, you can't root it out via violence. You can root it out via the good old American thing, which is what we should have done, right? I get going over there blowing shit up for a little bit. Like, I get that, right? That's where we thought 9/11, you know, was sprung out from. Turns out not exactly correct. But I mean, it's obviously from Iraq. But, you know – I mean, obviously, right? But like, I understand going over there and blowing shit up. Like, Ralph Nader would have done that. Like, that's not a question. The question is, how do you actually, like, through all the, like, bullshit of, like, just, let's bomb shit to make ourselves feel good, how do you actually defeat this idea? You do it the good old-fashioned American way. You bombard them with culture, right? I hate to say this because it sounds... on its face, it sounds ridiculously like jingoistic and Americanized, but our culture is unbeatable, dude. It's unbeatable. That is the one thing that America has been able to do, is spread American culture around the world, and it is unbeatable. It is a virus. And the virus is, hey man, short skirts, low tops, porn, music, fast food. That's it. Throw that shit. Put a cap on a country. Come back in 20 years, and we can sell you Coca-Cola and shit, and we're fine. Look at Vietnam. Like,
you're not exaggerating, dude. We did not win the Cold War with violence.
We didn't.
We won it with rock and roll and blue jeans. You know.
That's it. Like, and I don't understand like this idea of like. I mean, that's why Russia, in a weird way, is having the political resurgence that it had, because Putin realized this. And so what he's trying to do is push up a Russian culture inside Russia. He's not trying to like the further he steps into like fucking with our like internet shit and doing all that, the more it's going to come back to going, all right, we're going to blue jeans and rock and roll your ass into the fucking Stone Age again. Don't fuck around. Right? Like, when he was just pumping up, like, Russia's awesome, we're awesome. Russians like that shit. Like, every country likes that shit. That's what China does. Right? China doesn't need to go to war with anybody. They just promote pro-China shit in China. And that culture just permeates and it doubles down. But the second you leave and start fucking with people... don't make us come over there and drop some fucking DVDs on you and fuck your whole culture up, because we will and we have. We will.
Did you listen to Winds of Change?
Like Winds of Change music?
The podcast. It was a podcast about the song.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's fucking fascinating. So it's well, the premise, which is never particularly answered, but I don't think it's true.
I'm like, by the Scorpions?
Yes. So it's exploring the song, and it was exploring the rumor that the song was written by the CIA. Which,
really?
I don't think Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah.
That's literally one of the first things that comes up. That's interesting.
It's fucking fascinating. But what is true about that is we absolutely were trying to get that song, in addition to other cultural things, but that was one of the biggest things, was trying to get that song into the Soviet Union. And it was like the lead of this cultural revolution, which was, you know, people like rock and roll at that time.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, it was the biggest thing in the world. And it was weird for the Scorpions, who were like mostly a big 70s band, to have a hit at that time.
Right.
And it was a modest hit here. Internationally, it was the biggest fucking song in the world.
It was 91.
Yeah. Right?
Wow, I didn't realize it was that. Wow, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, and that song coincides with like the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
When was the Scorpions? Like late 70s, early 80s probably? But their biggest hit came in 91. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, they formed in 65. So yeah, they would have been at their height in the 70s.
Yeah. It's weird that they had their biggest hit in 91, but it was because like absolutely is true is the U.S. government was pumping that song everywhere, being like,
Winds of change. Think about it. Think about
rock and roll, blue jeans, you know, and it became the anthem for revolution around the world.
Oh, that's super interesting.
People to overthrow their totalitarian governments. But yes, listen to Winds. Yeah, the fucking Scorpions. Like, it's dope. But I mean,
it's a good song.
I mean, who had more invested in, you know, the split of East and West Germany than
CIA.
The Scorpions, right?
the Scorpions.
CIA.
Yes.
No, like that.
I mean, they were German, so that makes sense.
Yeah, like if you're German and your country is cut in half by a fucking wall, that has to be a bummer, right? Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting. I didn't even realize how big of a deal that song was back then.
Wow, that's amazing. But I mean, that is, if you really want to make change in Afghanistan, that's how you make change. Like, it is. Look.
All right. We're sending the Scorpions to Kabul.
Yeah. Oops. maybe like a Zoom. Maybe we do a Zoom. But seriously, it is a thing. Like, American culture. Dude, look. My wife always talks about, like, growing up and her family going to India and seeing her family. And it was like, you know, India is like super different in the 80s, right? Like, it was like just very different. It's like 100% different than the US. Like, it just was. But then going like later on as an adult, she's like, yeah, like, I mean, it's still India, like, obviously, but like, oh, you go to McDonald's, you can go to all these places, like, all that shit is there. That is us. That is us, like, just throwing American culture out into the world, and that shit's sticking because it does, for better or worse, right? Like, you probably shouldn't be eating Big Macs and shit. Like, that's a terrible idea. But if you really want to change hearts and minds, the problem is, like, a lot of American, like, the American viewpoint of, like, how do we fix it? These fucking savages are doing something we don't like. We just go, well, let's just bomb them. Yo, that's not what works. That's how it works. Like it's almost excuse my following statement, but it's almost like the idea of, like, I'm going to fuck you until you love me kind of thing. Right. Like, like, but it is, right. Like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this fucking loud music and shitty, very instant food into your face until you're going to eat as many Big Macs until you just go, all right, well, I mean, fuck it. I think I make, like, Big Macs, right? We just force feed our culture via feedback into these countries until they just go, yeah, all right, America's fine, man. I don't know. Like, they just do. And that's how you, like, if you want to change hearts and minds, that's it. You don't do it at the tip of a bomb. Like, that just makes people hate you. And I think we weirdly got away from that in the 80s, right? Like, we definitely pushed for that in the 80s and in, you know, in the 90s. And then we got away from that because we were just like, well, we just blow shit up. Like, that doesn't work. Or what I guess really what the American move was blow shit up. Like, oh, you guys okay? You dust yourselves off. Okay, cool. Here's some rock and roll and blue jeans. Like, you like that? And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, but we don't do that anymore. We just blow shit up. And just keep blowing shit up. Like, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So, look, it's been 20 years. It's high time we leave. High time we leave Afghanistan.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What is a, just like a firmly held belief of yours? Like, core to your identity?
Core to my identity?
Yeah. Like, a belief that is like, this is essential to my being.
Oh, is this essential to my being? Yes. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I believe in science. Like, that's essential to my being. Like,
okay.
Logic and
now,
science.
Could I beat that out of you?
No, you couldn't. Like, you could punch me
in the face where until you stopped believing that.
You could punch me in the face where I would tell you what you wanted to hear. And I'd be like, yeah, no, science is all bullshit. Jesus is the way. And then when you left, I would be like, light those beakers back up. Let's fucking roll. Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, you could not beat that out of me. No, you couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point, right? You cannot beat someone's firmly held beliefs out of them.
Well, the perfect example, and this is what I probably should have gone with, is sexuality, right? You like what you like. There's no convincing me, like, hey, you want to sleep with some burly dude? No, I don't. It's fine. Burly dudes are fine for other people.
What
That's not for me.
What if I electroshock you and show you a bunch of gay porn until I convince you that you like it?
I bet I wouldn't. Like, again, I might do something to get you to stop hurting me. But I probably would be like, this is not for me, right? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure. I stand pretty firmly on that.
Send you to a pray the straightaway camp.
Yeah.
And electrocute your genitals until you no longer like women.
Yeah, well, or they just don't work at all. So, like, who gives a shit? But, you know what I mean? It's just, it's, like, that's, like, you're not going to change people. Like, but, yeah, like, the, you know, trying to change gay kids to straight kids, it doesn't work. Shit doesn't work. Or they go, yeah, it worked. And then, like, a year later, they're just, like, back to doing what they were doing before. Of course. You can't change it.
They're out Lindsey Graham-ing out on the town.
Yeah. Like, you know, laughing like Mickey Mouse, right? So, yeah. It's one of the most disturbing facts I've ever heard. You can't change people, man. Like, you just can't. And look, Americans also need to understand that, like, democracy isn't going to work for everybody. It simply isn't.
Yeah. You know what? We've all had our opinions change on things, right? You don't believe the same shit you did when you were 18, right? You were not a fully formed human.
No, of course not.
But you didn't. You weren't convinced of anything by someone red-faced screaming at you in the comments section, right? Like,
no, as much as sometimes I do that myself.
Like, right. You were presented with better information and went, oh, I was wrong about that.
You know? Yep. That's how it goes.
Yeah. And so that's how you win the quote-unquote war on terror. You have to present a better option, which is not to say that we have the best option on anything, you know, but there are things, you know, certainly, that the American ideal, what we strive for, I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're all trying to get to Steve Rogers, and right now we're doing a whole lot of John Walkering.
Exactly.
Not doing great, guys. Not doing great.
Exactly. No, that's a perfect analogy because, you know, our solution to these problems is to bash someone's head in with a shield.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work.
Yeah. Can't always fist fight your way out. So, yeah, look, good on Biden. He says that he will have all troops out of Afghanistan by September 11th. Good.
There you go.
We should. Republicans, of course, are furious about this, except for one Republican, Donald Trump. He was like, this is a wonderful and great move. Because he didn't want to be in Afghanistan either. Look, Donald Trump didn't want to be in Afghanistan because he wanted to be the guy to say he got out of it, right? Like, I don't believe Donald Trump is there, for, you know, doing it or supported for any magnanimous reason. I do find it remarkable that he said that. Like, to give Biden credit, that is a shock. Like, I will say I am shocked by that.
Here's the thing, though. We have had now three presidents in a row elected on the idea of getting our troops out of Afghanistan.
Right.
Right? That was the idea behind Obama. And it didn't happen. And and Donald Trump ran on it, too. And Republicans went, yeah, that's great. And he got elected.
Yeah.
And Biden, too. So this is three times now the American people have said yes to this idea.
Yeah. So fucking do it.
Right.
Like, you know, look, you know, the idea of like cutting and running and all this other stuff. Like, look, you just can't listen to that shit. Oh, what if the Taliban resurges? They will. They will. What if they cut people's heads off in stadiums? That's probably going to happen. It is.
We can provide support to the Afghani government. I don't know what other thing you can do, though.
Like, what, are we going to stay there forever? We can't.
Yeah, whatever we were trying to accomplish, if you can't get it done in 20 years,
you can't get
done. You're not going to fucking get it done.
Right. Right.
It's very, like, people say it's a new Vietnam, which, first of all, this has lasted way longer than Vietnam.
Yes.
But it is that way. in that there we weren't like trying to go to war with a Vietnamese military.
No.
It was fucking farmers that were like setting traps and you like and you like didn't know who was with who because you're trying to defeat the idea of communism, which was also largely a failure.
Yep.
Right?
You cannot defeat an idea. Like you just can't.
Look at look at Vietnam now. They're pretty communist. So I think we failed.
Yeah. You know? And the idea of defeating like fundamentalist right wing Islam is that going to go the exact same way.
Yeah, it will. So you just kind of there are certain things you just have to you just gotta kinda chuck the deuce up, right? And like there is like in order for us to stop having domestic terrorism in this – not domestic terrorism but foreign terrorism on our soil from you know radical Muslim terrorists, the only way that you do that is by keeping your fucking nose out of their business. They're not bombing – they're like look they're fucking psychos, right? Like they are. But like they're not bombing Sweden, dude. Like they're not. It's because we have fucking bases in Saudi Arabia and all this other shit. We are so firmly planted in those parts of the world that yeah, they're pissed. And look, they got their own issues. They do.
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, when you get a large organization, I think we're kind of as the world police. We are sort of. It is our responsibility to go after that, right? Like when. Like going after Al-Qaeda as an organization, I think you kind of have to do, right?
Yeah.
Or when ISIS has a caliphate which takes up like half of
Syria, oh no, you have to you have
a third
to
of Iraq, yeah. You know, you kind of have to
you have to put them down.
Right. And I'm certainly not ever in favor of you know, like just as a principle, I'm non-interventionist, but I don't see how you get away with just going, "Nah, it's not our problem."
No,
like,
you
without
can't.
At least providing support to the troops on the ground over there, right?
Right.
Which is what we did. You know, that's how the caliphate was destroyed. Was not with a full scale American assault. It was, "Hey, we got your back there, Kurds. Hopefully, the next president doesn't abandon you."
Yeah. Good luck.
But I mean, I kind of like that's the fucking that is the moral quandary of having the world's biggest military is
how do you use it?
Right. Like you like I don't want to be intervening with every conflict around the world. But at the same time, if you can stop shit and you let it happen when you have the capability to stop it, then you're also at fault, you know?
Mm hmm.
So I don't know how you settle that. And it sucks. But
it's not that's not an easy question.
No, and that's a spot we put ourselves in, right? Like
yeah.
Nobody made us do that. But
they did not.
But we right, but we did. And at some point it becomes, you know, like when you have the capability to stop something, at what point do you have the responsibility to?
Right.
But you know, like if you see somebody getting the shit beat out of them and you can stop them on the street, right? Like even though it's not your business,
do you
intervene?
I would argue you do. But you also risk getting dragged into something horrendous. You do.
Yeah.
Right? Always. Because you might be like, "Hey, is like this little guy's beating on his girlfriend, and I could kick the shit out of that guy." And you could go over there. That guy might have a gun, and you don't know that. But could you live with yourself watching some guy just beat the shit out of his girlfriend? You gotta take the risk, right? It could turn out you beat the shit out of this guy, you're a hero, everybody loves you. Or it could turn out you attack the guy, and it's a Kyle Rittenhouse situation. Yeah. And that, like... I think it's easy to say in hindsight or not in those situations what you would do. But like you also take into account like all of your shit. Like, all right, if I go over there and this shit pops off, if I get fucking hurt, I got kids at home. Right? But at the same time, if I don't go over there, this woman could get killed.
Right.
How the fuck do I live with myself knowing that I could have done something, right? Like, so like the perfect example of this is Myanmar, right? Before it got to where it is, we could have probably intervened. We could intervene now. We could intervene now. And there are people being just straight up murdered. This is a fucking international crisis. And the whole world is like, I don't know if we should go over there because that guy might have a gun, right? And it's not like we couldn't go in there and fuck people up and like win. We could. But are we willing to go in and then have to stay and repair this shit? Therein lies the question, right? And, you know, and there is, you know, there's hardliners in the U.S. who are like, we shouldn't intervene in anything. Fuck that. Get out of here. And that's on the far right and it's on the far left, right? And then there's a lot of people go, well, Jesus Christ, dude, are you watching these people getting killed? Like, what the fuck are we going to do? Right? But then those same people who say, what are we going to do? Maybe we should go do something. If we're there in 2 years, they're like, why are we still there? Right? Like, people forget how hard it is to be a president, dude. Like, when you actually care and you actually have to think about this shit, it's really fucking difficult choice. Well, why don't we just go in there and kick Assad's ass in Syria? Well, there is a whole host of reasons why that is a good idea and a bad idea. So you're stuck. Sometimes you're stuck. So look, I commend Biden for actually trying to pull the trigger on this. He says by September 11th. Look, I don't know if it'll happen. I hope that it does. And yeah. I'm sure people are going to give him a hard time the whole time. Fuck it. Stick to your guns, dude. Stick to your – whatever happens, like Americans have to be okay with going, all right, that shit – wow, they're cutting people's heads off in fucking soccer stadiums again. That's horrendous. We're still not going back. We have to. We have to. And that sounds so horrible for me to even say out loud. But otherwise – we're never going to leave. If no one ever gets hurt is the standard, we'll never leave. We'll never leave. We'll never leave.
Yeah. And it sucks. It's not, I don't think it's an easy choice to stay or to go.
Like, it's not.
It's, that was, that was, something one of the Pod Save America guys was saying at one point was like right when Obama took office. Somebody said, well, congratulations, be prepared for 4 to 8 years of being handed two bad decisions and having to choose the least bad of the two.
Right.
And I think that's everything, right? That's
it.
That's okay. Here's two shitty things. Which shitty thing would you like to do?
Oh, man.
Tell us which one's least shitty. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
It's a terrible job. I don't.
I don't know why people want it.
I don't know why people want it.
Yeah, I really don't. I could do so much good. Can you? I mean, you can. But every time you do something good, you hurt so many other things. Like, it's just, it's impossible. It's an impossible job.
Not that I ever could get elected to anything. But I think about as high as I'd ever want to go would be like firebrand senator. I don't think I want any more than that. Like a Sheldon Whitehouse, I think is the peak for me.
That's peak for you. Yeah.
That's as high as I would
ever. People are like, "Yeah, I like that guy." And then they're like, yeah. "Let's look into his background." Yeah, don't ask me to do anything extra, dude.
Yeah.
Would you like to be president? I would not.
This is a guy that every 3-4 years you see their clip on your news feed. You're like, oh man, that guy's pretty awesome. How come he didn't run for president? You're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, no. So you see those decisions, man? This shit is fucked up. I'd like to be a bomb thrower over here where it sort of matters what I do.
Only White House is the perfect example because he has no aspirations to be president ever.
No, and he can make a lot. He can remain a very good person throughout his entire life by not doing.
But every 12 to 18 months, a badass speech of his during a confirmation hearing will pop up, and you're like, "Oh man, that guy's pretty cool." And then that's it. Then you go about forgetting about that guy.
Yeah,
and that's about where I'd want to be.
Yeah,
Sheldon Whitehouse, Ed Markey. You know,
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, nobody. Like nobody, you know, they may tell me where to sit, but nobody tells me where to stand. Or, nobody tells me where to stand. Like, yeah, no, that was a badass thing. And it's like, you want to do more? Nah, I'm good. All right. And that's the thing that drives me crazy.
I'm going to pop over to Chris Hayes from time to time, but that's about it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to do.
But that's what but that's what drives me crazy in how people on the far left see presidents that are Democrats. Like, you think if Bernie was president, you would love him as much as you do now? No.
No.
You would fucking hate
shitting on him immediately.
Yeah, it is an untenable fucking situation, dude. It is untenable. Because the second you make a choice, the whole fucking presidency is a monkey paw. That's all it is. It's 4 to 8 years of monkey paw situations. Hey, you're getting out of Afghanistan. Everybody wants it. Cool. You chose that. Fast forward 6 months. They're lopping heads off and saying, fuck you to Bernie in Afghanistan. And it's all over every fucking international news organization. Well, yeah, what are you going to do now, Bernie? Fuck. Great.
We're not even 100 days into the Biden administration, and how quickly did it go from, meh, fuck that guy, he hadn't fixed fucking anything, right? Like, how quickly? You've seen it.
Dude,
you've all seen it on your news.
Dude,
feed.
It was literally a month.
When
it was
are you
going to
solve this problem?
Like, why hasn't he fixed the border? Hasn't the border been a problem for like 40 years? Yeah, but it has. But it's also been a problem for Biden for 50 days. Fuck that
like
guy.
3 fucking months. What the hell? Why haven't you solved that yet? Yeah. Well, not even 3 months yet. Yeah, but
This guy's not even doing press conferences every day. Fuck him. Yeah, you can't win. Like, you can't. And look, that goes true for Republicans too, right? It's just that, like, I think they do things that are, like, consistent with, like, trying to fuck shit up, like on purpose, which I think is a different situation than me, like, making hard decisions, right? Like,
well, it's a different philosophy, though, right? Like, their entire thing is that the government doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy
to prove
when
it.
It's
easy to prove it.
When your core belief is that government can't solve any of your problems, to just be an incompetent boob is, I mean, it's easy, you know? But when your belief is we want a guy to fix these problems, then you want them fixed.
Yeah.
So it's harder to be
a Democrat.
Yeah. It's tougher to be a liberal president because people actually expect you to do things.
Yeah. That's a really sad realization, but it's 100% true. Yeah, it really.
Dude, like when? What's the last Republican bill?
Yo, that's not even. Yo, you're not even kidding. But that's fucking true. What is the last Republican bill?
When can you remember? Like, it's the tax cut, right? 2017 tax cut.
Yeah,
that's it. And that was just taking things away.
Yep.
Right.
Give a bunch of shit to super rich people and then watch them fuck it up.
Yeah. But like, when was the last time they go, we have a solution for this problem, and then went about solving it? Like, yeah.
No,
they don't do it because it's not part of their deal.
It's also hard.
Yeah.
It's also hard. Is. It's really hard.
Yeah. You expend a lot of political capital, you know. You have to have ideas and try to enact them and have people satisfied with the result. Like, it's easier to just go, nah, it's all fucked. Might as well just spend less taxes.
Yeah. Fuck the Republican Party. all right, let's talk
so
about.
It's so much easier. Yeah. It'd be so much easier.
Dude.
The government can't solve any of your problems and put us in charge so we could fucking prove it.
Yeah, we're going to break everything. Oh, great. Wow, where do I sign up? All right. This is an interesting story. Next up, after criticism, Biden says he will raise the U.S. cap on refugee admissions. So the leftover refugee cap on refugee admissions, leftover from the Trump administration, was 15,000 a year, right? And obviously, Biden was like, look, that's fucking ridiculous. We're gonna increase that. And the other day he was like, we're gonna extend that a little bit there. Don't worry about it. And so people on the left, rightfully so, like the Squad and you know, humanitarian organizations and stuff like that, were like, what the fuck, bro? And he was just like, oh shit, you're right. Let's go ahead and increase that cap to 62,000. So here's the thing, and I think it's a part that, like, I actually love this story because it worked out exactly how it should have worked out. Biden's argument was, and whether you agree with it or not, I largely don't, was like, hey, we've got this crisis at the border we're trying to deal with, and you can't do both things at the same time. Bullshit. I'm not buying that, right? Like, you can do them both at the same time. But I also can recognize
from it requires work.
It does require work. But I can also understand not wanting to increase the cap at that time, thus sending a signal out that could cause a massive rush of people to the border. Like I get it. And I think the cap should be, you know, great. Look, you could increase that cap over 60,000, probably to 100,000 as far as I'm concerned. But I understand why you wouldn't.
You all know where I stand on
this. Yeah, yeah, open the border.
I would take literally anybody who wants to come here, but yeah. Nobody likes that position.
Yeah, fucking open borders. Fucking open borders, California liberal.
Do we need borders? I'm kind of with the flag smashers on this one. I don't know, man.
I don't know. So, those guys are violent leftists.
But they're not that wrong.
No, they're not. That's why they're good villains. Because you agree with their ideas, yeah, so just great. Not the way in which, why don't we blow up a building with people in it? Don't do that. Like, that seems extreme.
I heard what is his name? Malcolm.
Gladwell?
No, he's the writer for the.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget his last name, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I heard an interview with him, and I can't remember his last name.
Anyway.
Spellman.
Sure. Malcolm Spellman. Yep.
Malcolm Spellman's one of the writers on there. And in the writer's room, they had like the famous Killmonger speech, the one that made everybody say Killmonger is right. They had that up in the writer's room because that's the vibe they're going for. Like, we want villains that people are going to be like,
yeah.
I mean, they're not totally wrong. I mean, their methods are off a bit, but...
But that's what makes a good villain.
But yes.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Rather than just, I'm evil just because...
Do you guys like freedom? Well, I don't. Like, all right. Well, that's a fucking... That's a stupid argument for a villain.
Yes.
Everyone should be in jail. What?
Yeah. I like a villain that, like... I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from.
Yeah. No, I fucking totally get it. Look, I like – the reason why I like this story is because it's what we've been saying. And it's not what everyone has been saying. So I'm going to give a credit to us because we're awesome. If you can move the crowd, you can move Biden. Biden is not an impossible person. He's not an ideologue. He's not. So
and that is the like the lefty promise of argument for voting for Biden, which is he's not going to be right on everything. He's going to be wrong on a lot of stuff. He's 112 years old. He's going to be wrong on a ton of shit, but he's movable.
Right.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Convince him this is the correct thing. And the evidence is in his positions over the years.
Yes.
Biden 2021 is not Biden 1974. He's moved with the party. And if he can be convinced, actually, no, you're wrong about this. This is the correct thing.
He'll move.
And that, yes. And,
right.
And that is the left wing argument for voting for these fucking liberals.
voting for that disgust, that filthy centrist, Joe Biden. Right. So,
yeah.
But it worked. What they did worked. Right. This argument of like, dude, we're pissed about this. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now, he's not for marijuana legalization. Spoiler alert, keep yelling about it. Guess what? I bet you get it before the fucking midterms. I don't know, guys. Hey, you know what? Let the kids have their wacky tobacco. Who gives a shit? Boom. Done. All you have to do is move the fucking crowd. And in this case, they moved, this is not a thing that average Americans care about, right? Like, or are aware of. Like, let's get real. They just, like, they don't know what refugee caps are? Like, I don't know. What is it, a million? They always bring it in. People don't look like us, right? Like, they don't fucking know. And so they have, one, they have no idea that Trump decreased it to 15,000. They have no idea what it was before, right? So they're unaware of this. So you can't really move the crowd on this. This is not a move the crowd sort of situation. But what you can do is move people who are super loud, right? You get the people on the far left wing who care about this, yelling about it. That's one thing, right? Those are the people like amping people up to move it. The people that you move to get it to Biden are the human rights people. They're like, dude, what the fuck? And he's standing right next to those people because they're working on the border crisis. So if they are right next to him, working with him on the border crisis and how to fix this, if those same people are like, dude, what are you doing about the refugee thing? He hears that. So again, if you move the crowd, you can move him. It's not that fucking hard. That's that's the lefty promise of Biden. Move the fucking crowd, man. I hate to make this analogy, but it's true, right? This is the same thing from fucking movie Gladiator, right? Isn't that what Proximo said to Maximus? Like, win the crowd, dude. Like, don't worry about all the extra shit. Win the crowd and you can win. Like, if you can get to the masses, you can shift. You can shift your outview or his outview. So that's all you have to do. And they did. So you want weed legalization or decriminalization across the United States and let the states do the rest? Boom. Keep moving him. Keep pushing at him. Don't give up and go, man, enough is a good change. No, dude, it will. It will. Listen, look, I'll tell you right now. This is how I already know Biden's going to break on it. Chuck Schumer came out this past week and was like, we're moving on weed whether the president does or doesn't. They've already been moved. So all you got to do is keep up the pressure. Biden is going to like, oh, all of the party is on board with this? I'm not going to fight the party. You think he's going to fight the party on weed? What the fuck, man? No, he's not. He's going to be the guy who stands between the Democrats winning what is an easy victory that even libertarians are for, and a lot of Republicans are for too, let it be, truth be told, and Democrats are full on. Of course not. What? Democratic governors are on board. Get out of here.
Well, the thing is, and this is why you really, you know, why states are the laboratories of democracy.
Yeah.
You really just need a couple of states to take a flyer on something.
Right. And run with it.
Yeah. And for everybody else to say, oh, that works. Right. There are enough examples now of states with just straight across the board legal marijuana. And society didn't collapse, yeah, right?
That is correct.
In fact, it's fine. And people were able to increase their budgets without having to raise taxes, which, I mean, that's kind of a thing you would think Republicans would be into.
Yep.
I don't want to see the Republican state version of this when it comes to it.
Right. Hey, we can keep the budget the same and cut corporate taxes more. Yeah.
You know it's going to be that.
Yes.
You know
that. Of course.
You know when they have legal weed in Texas, that's what they're going to do.
Ugh. They're going to ruin it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Decriminalize the shit. Let the states choose it however they want to do it. That way you don't have to impose anything. Or you're a white man. Get bold. Boom. Deschedule the shit and be done with it.
It is wild to me that depending on which part of the same fucking country you're in, right? In my part of the country, you can walk into a store and purchase marijuana and go home with it and smoke it. We literally, in my little town, have a weed store next to the police station.
Wow.
You can walk in. Yeah.
Wow.
You can walk in, buy your weed, wave at a cop on your way to the car with your weed in your hand, and go about your merry way.
Yeah.
One state over, and you go to fucking prison for a dime bag.
Yep. It's dumb. This shit makes no sense. It makes no sense. So
it is wild to me, like Nevada bordering Utah is one of the weirder things.
Yeah.
And the fucking lawless hellhole, right? The fucking Mos Eisley of states is right Mos next to is right next to the most conservative state.
Yeah, like the most religious. That's fucking the Mos Eisley of states. It's true. I mean, yeah, I mean Vegas is just a giant Mos Eisley. Like that's absolutely accurate.
State, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys just got hookers
gambling,
and
fucking, like, hookers, 24-hour drinking. There is no town or municipality that is it's in the state constitution that no one is allowed to make a public intoxication law because it's so integral to our economy.
I love that. That's fantastic.
We make our money off of public intoxication. You can't fuck with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stumbling around from casino to casino hammered. But yes, gambling, whores, weed, 24-hour drinking. There is no last call here. Right next to Utah.
Yeah, where you can't even get a fucking cup of coffee easily. Get out of here.
You can't get beer that's more than 3.2% alcohol.
Ooh, Jesus won't like it. Get out of here. So, yeah, look, I think it's really important. I think this is a very important test for Biden, and I think he limped to the finish line properly, but I think it is a very important win for the left. And I think the lesson here shouldn't be fuck Biden. The lesson should be we figured it out. Figure out the equation. That's it, man. Win the crowd, dude. Again, Proximo was right. That dude died. You're still right. Next up, House Committee on Oversight and Reform approves D.C. statehood. Of course, this is across, you know, down party lines. But this is going to send D.C. statehood to the full House, which it will pass. And then it will go to the Senate to die. I found this article to be more interesting than I thought it would be because I thought that would be just pretty much the only thing it said, right? But I didn't realize there were amendments to the this by the Republicans, which are fucking laughable. They are laughable. So basically one Republican, I'm trying to find the quote here. They suggested that they go back to a situation where DC residents. Oh yeah, here you go. Republicans offered numerous amendments. Representative Jody Heiss from Georgia, great state, suggested that DC residents go back to voting as residents of Maryland or Virginia for House and Senate races. The amendment mirrored how voting worked in D.C. between 1790 and 1800, when D.C. residents could vote in federal elections as residents of either Virginia or Maryland, each of which had ceded land to create the capital city. The system ended in 1801 when Congress stripped D.C. of its voting rights in federal elections and assumed full control of district affairs. So she's basically like, look, if H.R. 51, which is proposal for D.C. statehood, is not a power play for two more Democratic senators, Heiss said, then this proposal ought to be a satisfactory solution. No offense, but bitch, what? Like, what are you talking about? So you're going to – so now D.C. residents, they would be able – under her idea, would be able to vote for – they would be able to influence another state, which are both blue states. Like they would be able to affect their federal, you know, federal races. So all they would do is just make blue states bluer and do nothing about having any larger effect on the country, thus nullifying, them changing anything. Which I just found to be fucking hilarious. Like they're like, oh, this is a power grab for the Democrats to get two more Senate seats. Well, it's not Democrats' fault that they appeal to people in D.C. That's Republicans' fault that they don't. Like, the fuck are you talking about? The argument that, hey, it's not fair because they like the other guys is not an argument. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I'll take them at their word that that they believe that they should have voting rights, but they just need it confined to another state. But I want to pick the state.
It should be Kentucky.
They all vote as residents and citizens of Wyoming.
No. Better. I have a better idea. They all get to pick their state. Everyone picks their own state. And then people in D.C. can rally and be like, everybody vote. We're trying to get Mitch McConnell out. We're going to Kentucky. Why don't you just let them pick every time they get to pick their own state?
People?
Yeah, you can fuck it up. Yeah, let them influence a red state.
Yeah, no, there are more of them than there are citizens of like three or four other states, right?
Oh, yeah. We just take those over.
Yeah. Just take over. Yeah, just fucking, yeah, Wyoming. There are more D.C. residents than there are residents of Wyoming.
Hey, Montana. D.C. owns your ass now. There's own yours. Like, it's fine. There's nine of you there. There's like 500,000 people who vote in Montana. Done. Why is Montana even a state? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It's a city. It's a city. We have more people in our city than the whole state. Get out of here. That vote anyway.
There are more people in Fresno than there are in Wyoming.
Yeah. And Fresno is a one horse town. I mean, come on. I mean, you guys have cars.
Wyoming is a one horse state.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is. Well, I think Wyoming actually has, what is it? Wyoming has like more cows than people or some shit like that. Like it's something.
Oh, I guarantee that's true.
Yeah. I mean, they probably have millions.
I don't know that to be true, but I'm sure that that's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the Republican argument is bullshit. And I think if you're making an argument that DC shouldn't become a state because Democrats would get those two Senate seats, that's not an argument. Like the Senate is like, it's a bad argument. Well,
we're really unappealing there. I don't think that's going to work.
Like, so should we only make it, we should only add states when it's what, 50-50? In the state? Like, we should only add states that are red or, like, purple states? That doesn't make sense. That, like, just does not make sense. We've added states, and they've immediately gone to one side. Who cares? Appeal to them. Maybe if Republicans weren't pieces of shit all the time when it comes to policy, that maybe black people would maybe vote for you. Like, it's not Democrats' fault that they appeal to them. I mean, it's partially their fault, but mostly it's because Republicans don't. Like, sorry. It is what it is. Fuck you. What
was it like? I think it was Mike Rounds who was trying to say, oh, it's just a power grab. I'm like, dude, you represent South Dakota.
Yeah, why are you a state?
The only reason South Dakota exists, the only reason there's two Dakotas, was a power grab by the Republicans. Now, at the time, that was probably good. Yeah. I'm not going to argue that the Republicans back in the day were the better of the two choices.
Yeah.
I'm not that much of a homer. But yeah. I mean, I live in a state that was added by Lincoln specifically to try to hold on to power.
Right.
That's why our flag says battle born. Not because we won some cool battle. It was because the Civil War was happening. We had to add a couple of states because, you know, we're going to have Lincoln lose an election in the middle of a war.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Why don't you let those fucking crazy fornicators over in Nevada in? Fuck it. Who cares? Just shore up my votes. God damn it. Like,
you really want to let Mos Eisley into the union? I mean, we kind of have to.
Yeah. Look, I need them. I need them. Even the guy with the arm you're going to cut off? Yeah, definitely that guy. Definitely that guy. So, I'm not buying any Republican argument for this. Like, I'm looking at the New York Times article that I linked to, and I'm looking at the comments, and one guy's like, DC's a city. This is a joke. Yeah. So what? Like, and another person's like, all DC is, you know, the city. So why should it be a state? Hey, spoiler alert, asshole. What do you think New York is? Like, what do you think New York is? No one thinks about New York State. New York City is 8 million people. That's what New York is. New York State is just the crust on an otherwise more interesting pie center. Okay, like, no one gives a fuck about any of the other boroughs. Oh, can't wait to go to Albany, says no one. No one. No one. No one travels there. Like, come on, man. Knock it off. Like, we have countries that are cities. We have countries that are cities. Yeah, yeah. Like, shut up.
Yeah, go to Singapore. Yeah. Go to Monaco. Yeah. It's one city.
It's a city, dude. It's a city state. It's a city, state, country, island. It's all of those things. Like, get out of here. So, like, this idea that, oh, it's a city. It's not an argument. Democrats are like there. It's not an argument. Give me a real argument. Like, I remember, what was it, Josh Hawley? Or no, Tom Cotton was like, there's not enough people there. Why should it be? I'm like, yo, aren't you from, like, yo, Cal fuck wherever? Like, there's no one there either, dude. Like, if population is an argument, you're going to need to smash those Dakotas together. Because, frankly, Dakota should be a state and not South and North Dakota. That's ridiculous. You know, you have to change the flag. You know, you have to change the flag. Cut the border between them and be done with it.
Population by rank.
Yeah.
Let's find places with less people than D.C. Vermont and Wyoming.
Yeah.
And Alaska's pretty close. But, yeah, if you would like to argue that Vermont and Wyoming don't count, then that's a quite a different argument. But I would entertain it.
Sure. There ain't nobody there, man. Get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah, it's just below Alaska. Like, come on, man. Knock it off.
I don't know how you make a population argument. Even, you know, I mean, the population argument is there's more people there than a couple other states. But, like, most of these states were founded with, like, 10,000 people in them.
Right. Like, like, this idea that, oh, well, what about what it is now? That's not, again, that's not an argument. And, like, they did make one argument that I thought was a compelling one, which is how would D.C. handle, like, its federal jails and things like that if it suddenly became a state, right? And so they basically said that other states in the past, when they became states, like there were a number of years of federal, like increased federal funding to kind of get them on, like on their feet, right? Because there are big things that happen when you become a state, right? Like there's a lot more responsibilities, even for somewhere like DC. And it was hilarious because they're like, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, okay, like we would do that. And one of the Republican senators, like, it should only be 180 days that they get this federal funding. Like, dude, less than a year, so that you can just try to purposely cripple a new Democratic state. Like, you're so obvious. You're so obvious. Why don't you just give them the equal treatment under the law like you do everyone else? Oh, right, because you're Republicans and equal treatment under the law is kind of antithetical to what you actually believe. By the way, a population argument, Puerto Rico has 3.1 million people. Shut the fuck up. Like, there's mad people there, dude. Iowa, Nevada, you know, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, Idaho, West Virginia, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Maine, Montana, Rhode Island, Delaware, South and North Dakota, Alaska, Vermont, and Wyoming. Shut the fuck up. Puerto Rico should be a state. They have way more people than you.
This is why I want to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Because to watch their arguments collapse in on each other. Oh, there's not enough people in D.C. Okay, what about Puerto Rico?
It's too many people. Too many Puerto Ricans. It's too many Puerto Ricans. It's not fair.
Yeah. You don't want to have a black majority state and a Hispanic majority state. And that's it. And that's, you know.
Right. But like, because Puerto Rico is like,
rather than trying to craft a political argument to appeal to those people,
yep,
you would rather just prevent them from having power in the first place, which is, I mean, that's how they believe about everything, right?
Yep. By the way, if we're going to do this, Guam, U.S. Virgin Islands, Northern Mariana Islands, and American Samoa, one state. One state.
Do them all. I don't care.
I don't care if you add four of them, but yeah, there's like nine people who live there. Like, like one state. And, you know, just call it like Guam and them, or like, I don't know.
How many people live in Guam?
168,000.
Okay, yeah, that's tough. But
that's the biggest of those four. American Samoa is less than 50,000. Now
it was 40. There was 45,000 people in Delaware when it became a state.
Yeah, all right. That's less than American Samoa, right? Like, I mean, it was the first, so like, I get it.
It was a real state, right? Yeah. Nobody ever said, "Oh, you don't count. You don't have enough people there."
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, look, Guam should be a state. We had a huge military base in Guam, man. Like, the fuck?
Like, make them all states.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. The whole fucking idea of a colony is so fucked up to me.
In 2021, it's insane. Yeah, give me six more. Give us 56 states.
Like, those are the only places on earth that you cannot vote in a presidential election. You know that?
Wow, if
you're
really?
If you're an American abroad, you can vote. If you're in a U.S. colony, you can't.
Yeah, that's fucking bullshit. Stupid.
Right?
That's stupid.
Yeah. What if you want to live in the U.S. Virgin Islands? You don't get full citizenship?
No.
Are you part of the United States or not?
I mean...
We should either make these people states with full citizenship or...
Let them go.
Cut them loose and be independent. But yeah, the colonies are fucked up. The whole concept of it is completely fucked up.
I mean, not only is it fucked up, we have a Supreme Court justice who's from Puerto Rico. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Do you remember when Sotomayor was up for trying to become a Supreme Court justice, and they're like, you know, her parents were immigrants from Puerto Rico. Like, she's not an immigrant.
That's not an immigrant.
She's an American citizen. What the fuck? People don't know. I don't think it's right having all these goddamn immigrants from Puerto Rico. They're Americans, dude. What are you talking about?
These foreigners from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, like. Nah, bro. That's like saying like foreigners from Iowa. Like,
did you mention a couple weeks back when Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, I don't know why we're sending all of our money to this foreign country, Guam? Like, you're a fucking idiot. God, she's dumb. Like, it's not just that she believes really dumb, fucked up shit.
She's also generally dumb.
And we'll get to that. Fuck, she's dumb.
Yeah.
God. How do you live with someone so dumb as your representative?
Because you're dumb. Or you hate her. There's only two.
She sounds smart to me.
Of course she does. 2 + 2 is a fucking hard concept.
Oh, there probably is a global cabal now that I think about it.
There probably is one. All right. Speaking of Marjorie Taylor Greene, true American... as I wrote this, garbage bag offers to debate real human woman. So Marjorie Taylor Greene thought it'd be a real neat idea if she challenged, let me see if I can pronounce this woman's name correctly. I don't know if you've heard of her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to a debate on the Green New Deal. No, here's the thing. AOC is doing the right thing.
I want to challenge you to a debate about the thing you know the most about.
But like she says, she tweeted at AOC. I'd like to challenge you to a debate. Hold on. Let me do my better Marjorie Taylor Greene impression. Wing ding diddly dee. I'd like to challenge you to a debate on the Green New Deal economic policy. Since you sponsored the Green New Deal and have a degree in economics, I'm sure you're more than qualified. And she has a business degree, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So, you know, she could fucking take AOC down.
She has a degree?
I mean, I don't know if it's from Trump University, but she has a degree.
From where?
Oh, I mean, it might be a degree in meats from, like, you know, like, that's whatever college Rick's been. Rick Perry.
Yeah, Rick Perry. You have a degree in, like, animal husbandry or something?
Yeah, but he got a C in meats. Because he's dumb. I think she has, like, a business degree or something. Look, I mean.
What?
Yeah, she says
University of Georgia? That's a real college.
It's a real college.
What the fuck?
I'm just gonna assume, and this might this might be mean because we're in the second hour. I'm just gonna assume that Marjorie Taylor Greene fucked her professor, right? Like, there's no way she got it based on merit. She's an idiot. Look, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a moron, and AOC should not debate her. She shouldn't. Shouldn't debate her. No way. No, because Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't going to say anything intelligent. It's not going to be a real debate. It's going to be a debate between a smart person and an idiot. So what's the point? And I know he's listening right now, and he's saying to himself, well, Jay, you do that on Facebook all the time with people. Shut up, Micah. So, yeah, I don't need to hear that. Yeah, no, she shouldn't debate her at all. She shouldn't even respond to her, which she hasn't. I wouldn't. Fuck her. No, I would have responded. Who am I kidding? I would have definitely responded.
Oh, you absolutely would. You.
Yeah. Fuck you, lady. Get out of here. I'm not going to debate you. You're dumb. No, it's a waste. I mean, do you think she should debate her?
It would be a bloodbath, but...
yes.
There are things that, you know, AOC would be out of her depth on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But this is the thing she knows the most about.
Yeah, I'm not going to war with AOC on the Green New Deal.
Yeah, be like, hey, Sherrod Brown, I want to debate you on union labor. Like, that's his thing, right?
No, she's going to fuck you up. Yeah, I can't imagine how bad of an
Joe Biden, I want to debate you about trains.
Yeah. All right. You know, come get this ass whooping.
Matt Gaetz, you and me, we're going to have a debate on child sex trafficking.
He's like, dude, come
on. Specialty. Why would you want to go on her turf and try to win that fight?
Yeah. Makes no sense.
I don't want to debate Marjorie Taylor Greene on QAnon. That's clearly her area of expertise.
I would like to debate. I would debate Marjorie Taylor Greene on QAnon. I'd be like, did you know that Ron Watkins is Q? She's like, what? I didn't see the documentary. I think this is a terrible idea.
How the fuck are you into a conspiracy about pedophilia, which is run by a pedophile on a board filled with pedophiles? Like, I do. How do you square that circle?
That's my number one question. Why would Q post on a site that posts child pornography? Like, why would he do that?
Right.
We need to defend the freedom of children. By the way, did you see this hot chick? She's 12. Like, what the fuck, man?
We need to take down the pedophiles on 8chan. What? 8chan will be the perfect medium for me to get my anti-pedophilia message out there.
Like, by the way, by the way, barely legal's too old. Like, all right. Like, yeah, I don't get it. So, yeah, no, I think that human garbage bag, Marjorie Taylor Greene, should be thoroughly ignored on this. By the way, my statement about her probably fucking her professor, I realize that probably sounded really mean and unacceptable. I realize that it sounded that way. Anyway, next. I don't give a shit. Fuck her. But I get it. I get why you would believe that. This is the second hour. I'm not apologizing. Fuck that. Fuck that chick. She's awful.
That's right. This is only the people that are giving you your Tesla money.
That is correct. I'm not stealing money from the show. We don't make enough. We don't. Just don't. Like I said years ago, if I relied on money from subscriptions, I would starve to death. Like, are you kidding me? We don't make enough money.
And what was your big purchase this week again?
What?
I bought a second Tesla?
I mean, that may or may not be true. In fairness, it's used like a poor person would do.
You have his and hers Teslas now, you motherfucker.
All right, that's that. When you say it like that, that sounds really bad. That sounds way worse. Look, I'm just.
It looks pretty fucking dope. I will concede that that is a fresh looking automobile.
It's a fucking fun car, man. Look, here's my thing. I don't have to bow down to big oil anymore. That's why I got it. I'm sticking it to Rex Tillerson's stock portfolio.
Now I just bow to big lithium.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to bow to somebody. What are you gonna do?
They're putting in a lithium mine in northern Nevada. So
good. Get that. Yeah. Go get those rocks out of there, man. Hurry up,
dude. I think people would feel a lot better if they didn't kind of in the back of their mind think, where did that lithium come from? Is there child mines happening somewhere abroad?
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think
American
about
American labor from American mining with American, you know, safety standards. You'd feel better about those lithium batteries.
I literally don't think about it. As a person in the 1%, I don't think about the poors and what they suffer for my luxury.
Look, this isn't about trying to be flashy. This is just about what's doing right for the environment. Also, give me the bright red one so everyone can see me coming.
Fuck you, man.
You can see me coming because you can't hear me because I sound like this.
That's right. Fuck out of here. When I'm not holding the steering wheel and my robot car is driving for me.
Does it do that?
What?
Do you have the one that just drives by itself?
Yes.
Oh, fuck you.
Why would I get it if I couldn't? Are you kidding me? Driving with my hands like some sort of troglodyte? No. Get out of here. Now, I can't wait for you can only really do that on like line streets. You know, like streets that have like a, you know, like a double yellow, like between mm-hmm. the two lanes, and the highway right now. But they're slowly rolling out like full city capability, like turn by turn, the whole fucking nine yards.
So it wouldn't work out on my country roads out here.
I mean, I don't know. Once it's like fully out there, maybe. Like it would be kind of, it'd be difficult, but maybe, I don't know. But you know, move to a real city, and you could do that. Look, you guys are all making fun of me now, but they're working on a $25,000 version. So I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear shit because motherfuckers gonna be like, I'm getting seven of them. Like, yeah, all right. Also, Biden is supposed to do infrastructure.
It's entirely out of jealousy, you know. I'm not.
I know a
97 Ford. No, it's. I have a. What do I have? Well, we have the nice car, which is the Santa Fe. That's a 2017 family mobile. But my daily driver is a 2007 Ford Fusion, which is, I mean, it takes me and my bag to work, and that's all I would trust it with, really.
Me and my bag. That's funny. No, look, man.
My hard hat, my work boots, and that's about all it's going to hold.
For the working man. That's right. For the working man.
Yeah. I am the working man.
You are the working man. I am I'm one of these latte-sipping liberals who works at my dining room table.
Yeah, that's a fucking annoying thing, right? Like, this is coming at a time when you already use zero gas.
Now I use negative gas.
Because you work at your house and have groceries sent to your house.
Yeah, I'm not going
like,
out.
Where do you go?
I occasionally go to Home Depot to do curbside pickup.
Yeah, right.
I literally sometimes just drive. I take my daughter for a drive.
5 miles on that car in the next month.
Dude, I found out my car that I traded in. I found out that I literally drove 500 miles on that car in the last year. 500. I'm not even kidding. It's not an exaggeration. Literally 500.
I haven't changed my oil since summer of last year.
But I haven't, though. Like, that's not a joke. Dude, I had the same tank of gas. The gas I just came on the other day.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen gas prices lately? You're like, no, literally no.
No, I don't know what they cost. I
could
don't
be any number.
Is it $7? What are you guys paying? Fucking 8 rubles? I have no idea what it costs. I don't know.
No clue. Could be anything.
Yeah.
You could tell.
You tell me what
any
it is.
Number, and I'll believe it because I have no fucking idea.
It's 99 cents a gallon. Amazing. Like I don't fucking know.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. Could be.
What is it, like 350 or some shit? I don't know.
How would I know? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And now I'll never know. I will never know or care. I will never know. So I'll just – I need to know what the kilowatt per hour costs or whatever the fuck. I'm too dumb to even figure that out. So who cares?
Now let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you have solar panels on the house yet?
I do. Yep.
Okay. So you're like going to be fully cut off from everything.
I mean, that's why it doesn't really cost me much more to charge my cars. Cause that's kind of offset by the solar panels.
That's awesome.
Largely. I mean, not completely, but largely. Like our bill drops, like with solar panels, our bill in the summer dropped by like $200 to $250 a month, which is crazy.
Yeah, I don't,
if you can get solar panels, solar man, panels fucking on, do
they're it. Like, there are times of the year where they have like a $5 energy bill.
Yeah. No, I do too. Like sometimes it's like $8. The only thing I would love to do is switch my house because I have natural gas heating. Like I'd like to switch that to electric.
Fully electric. Yeah, there you go.
If I could, dude. Well, I could, but I hear it's not as efficient. But you can have like natural gas as a supplement, like if you need to like kick in more, and maybe I would do that. I need to look into that. Like maybe in the next, not right now, but in the next couple of years. Cause I would love to just be like not have to think about like my bills being incredibly low. Cause like the solar panels cost me like $60 a year, or excuse me, $60 a month, like $65 a month, I think. Like the general maintenance or whatever of it. That's it. So yeah. It's not bad, man. Like
you could just be completely not on any sort
gas.
Of, yeah. Just no fossil fuels whatsoever.
That'd yeah. I mean, granted, it's all powered by fossil fuels at the fucking station, right? Like that you can't get away from, but like.
Yeah. There's always going to be a need for like lubricants and things like that.
Yeah. And we'll figure those. I mean, as a society, we will figure those things out. But there's a path to sustainability. There's no path to sustainability with like gas powered cars. There's just not. It's not. That's why GM was like, yeah, in 2025, we're going all electric. Like, I mean, I saw an article the other day where people were like, this like guy in a comment, I was like, it took everything in my like being to be like, you're fucking a moron. And he's like, gas or electric cars aren't the future. I'm like, what are you talking? All right, cool, dude. All right, you got it.
Yeah, this isn't just that South African weirdo and his bizarre company. This is like GM, Ford,
right,
Chevrolet. Yo, all of them are like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore.
Like it's not the future. They're making an electric Hummer.
Okay.
They're making an electric Hummer. Like,
what are you gonna buy then?
Like, I'm not buying that. All right, then don't. Like, it's fine.
Like every major automaker is
committed
to.
They're moving.
Yeah, to having. Like an entire electric fleet within 15, 20 years. What are you going to do? Are you going to be the guy be like, no, I'm going to refine my own oil and I'm going to keep this internal combustion engine.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't understand. Like, what is your argument? Like, I'm not doing it. Yeah, you are. Or you're going to be a Luddite and no one's going to let you drive anywhere, you crazy person. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. Like, it is what it is. So we had the luxury of being able to do it now. So, like, that's it. Like, look, man, get a hybrid if you can. Save yourself some gas money. Like, and if you can go full electric, great. Do it. I mean, at least here, it's easier, right? It's much easier in cities. It just is. It's just much easier in cities. But, yeah, I get the apprehension, but at the same time, this thing is fucking fun as shit to drive.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
I see them all the time because they, well, because the Gigafactory is out here. It's in Sparks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and since my workplace is the freeway, I see
tons of
multiple
them.
Times. I see, you know, car carriers rolling on by with just big bunches of Teslas on them.
Nice.
So they're going everywhere. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, like it's certainly not from some deep, you know, philosophical belief that we need to clean the air that suddenly has struck these automakers.
No. Money, dummy. Money.
Yeah, they see what people want and they're going to provide that.
Yeah.
Right? They see what sells. People are buying in this brash young upstart Tesla company. They're not going to get blown out of the water by this prick.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that guy. And look, here's the thing. I get it.
You think General Motors is going to take that lying down? No. They're going to push back hard, and they're going to
they
blow
should.
Them out of the water with their own
shit. Right, and they should.
They should.
Fuck that. Go for it, man. I got no... Look, I ain't mad about it. I'm not mad about it at all. I think everybody should do it. I think they are fun cars to drive, and I'm not just saying, like, I'm not talking about mine. I'm talking about electric cars. Like, good. Good. Why the fuck are we paying... Dude... What does it cost? What is gas? $350 something shit like that? I don't know. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where you're at.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, to fill my car up, because I had a loaner car while my previous car was being fixed the other day. And I just like I was like, all right, I need to put a little bit of gas before I return it. And I just like wasn't paying attention. I was like, it's already on $21. God damn. Like, what the fuck? And I didn't even fill it up. I didn't even fill the car up. And it was already over, like, it was, by the time I, like, noticed it, it was, like, almost at $25, you know, and that was, like, half or, like, a little over half the tank, right? $25? Dude, if I go to a supercharger and my car is incredibly low, let's say it's, like, it only has, like, 80 miles left on the battery, right? It goes, like, it's somewhere, like, close to 350 or something now, like, max. If it's on like 90 miles, if I sit and supercharge it all the way up, it's like $10. If you charge it at home, it doesn't cost you that, right? Like it's, there's no reason for people to be paying exorbitant amounts of money.
What is your range?
It's like close to 350, I think.
Oh, that would be nothing. So my commute, I'm 33 miles from work.
Right.
So that's my daily commute.
That's about mine. Yeah, that's about mine.
That would be no problem.
Like, yeah, that's the thing is people are like, oh, how am I going to get to work? You charge a car, you drive home. How far is your commute? Is your commute 150 miles? No, it's not.
I mean,
some people are.
People it is. Yeah.
But there are, like, the thing is, at least, you know, there are charging stations everywhere. There are.
Yeah, I'm a half hour from work, and I think that's excessive. But yeah, there are people who like work in, like in San Francisco, where it's impossible to live unless you are like a millionaire.
Yeah.
Like there are people who live 2 fucking hours away.
No.
And then have to drive into the city every day to go to work and then drive home. Like, fuck that.
No. I will never take a car. I will never take a job that I have to drive more than 30 minutes in one direction. If I have to go every day. Like I wouldn't mind if I had an hour commute in one direction if I didn't have to go in every day. You know what I mean? Like if I was like, oh, you work from home 2 days a week, you know, you only have to go into the office 3 times a week. Okay, that's not bad. Like, because I'm getting these days at home. But no, if I gotta be there 5 days a week, fuck off. If it's 31 minutes, I'm pissed. I'm pissed. No. Because if I run into any traffic, it could be double that. So no.
Yeah. Like I said, I got a half hour commute and that's about it for me. But I don't mind having that little like wind up and wind down time.
No, that's my podcast listening time or my music listening time.
Yeah. Just like to like put work behind you and have a half hour to be like, all right, put all that behind me and go home.
Right.
Like people that are just like my little brother, he's literally 2 minutes from his house.
No, that's too close.
I don't know if I could do that.
That's like, too close.
I would have to like stop off at a bar and have a beer or something. I don't know if you can just go home and then just, hey, family. Yeah, I was at work 2 minutes ago And now I have to completely transform into dad mode.
Yeah, no, you need that time. That's why dudes used to go to the bar. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I need like that 30 minutes. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I need my time to just
yeah. Prepare for the shitstorm that's coming, buddy. That's right. Cuz this is true. You need time to, you need time to relax before you go dad, and then you're like, all right, here we go.
Well, that's what it is too, because like, I have two small children, and I work nights, so when I come home, it's the time when they're waking up, and so I like to spend time with the children and let my wife have a couple hours to herself.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I have to like come home, do my business in the go take care, and then I have to switch right into dad mode, and it has to be, I have to be prepared for all of the chaotic energy of children.
Yep. Yeah,
which is a lot. And you know,
I'm very much
aware.
Yeah, I'm very much aware. Very much aware. So yeah, it's nah, man. You gotta have some time. You gotta have time. Absolutely. So, all right, let's talk about that that shitbag Marjorie Taylor Greene a little bit more. or as I wrote it, America First or Sieg Heil? Am I right?
The fucking Naziest shit I've ever heard.
Dude, like, I gotta find that quote I sent to you and Brad from this. So,
the Robert Reich one.
Yeah. So, Human See You Next Tuesday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a couple of other Republican dirtbags decided that they are going to start the America First Caucus. But oops, guess what happened? Their caucus documents got leaked, and people had a chance to take a look before the shit got announced. And boy, are there some fucking devastating quotes in this. Let me find. Yeah. Here's Robert Reich, former labor secretary, wrote about this.
And I'm not just doing the, oh, you guys call everything Nazis. This sounds like the founding documents of a
neo-Nazis.
Of a white supremacist organization. I'm not exaggerating.
So here's what Robert Reich wrote about this. Now, he actually has quotes from the document, right? So I will mention what those quotes are. He says, right-wing representative Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene are preparing to launch an America First Caucus, according to a leaked planning document. The document is a hodgepodge of bigoted rhetoric towards immigrants, lies about the 2020 election, and pure nationalist sentiment, like emphasizing, quote, this is from the document, quote, common respect for uniquely Anglo-Saxon political traditions, end quote. The caucus will also advocate for infrastructure that, quote, befits the progeny of European architecture, unquote, or close quote, whatever that means. Other right-wing representatives like Matt Gaetz, pedophile, who is currently under federal investigation for alleged sex trafficking, and my boy, Louis Gohmert, have already professed their support for the new caucus.
Just, I know you're new.
The progeny, right, of European architecture. Wow. Right. Wow.
I know you're new to Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, but just as a general rule, if you have an idea, any idea, whatever it is, just speaking in generalities, if you have an idea, and the only people who are on board with it are Paul Gosar, Louis Gohmert, and Matt Gaetz, it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's universally bad. So apparently today, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene decided, I'm going to go ahead and drop out of that because that seems like a bad idea now. Because on Saturday, Marjorie Taylor Greene described the document as, quote, a staff-level draft proposal from an outside group. And she claimed that she blasted the media for taking something out of context. What exactly is the context of making sure that infrastructure is befit the progeny of European traditions.
What is the proper context for those quotes? For the Anglo-Saxon political tradition? Wink.
Like, what's the context?
You're not even fucking good at this. Like, it's not even like... Like, you know how people will drop a little, like, a Western civilization, you know, or whatever? Like, that's not even... Like, you're barely even pretending. You're just saying, the white people caucus for whites.
Yeah, what's the black dude who's a Republican senator? Oh, fuck. Yeah, Tim Scott. He should be like, hey, can I join? They'd be like, no, you can't.
Are you a progeny of European? No. You wouldn't, though. You're like,
no,
like,
but see, the thing is, he should be asking that question. Like,
yes.
Look, man, I don't agree with him politically, but I do think the guy is like, he has to like weirdly be brave in this shithole of a party he's in, right? But he never is. He never is.
I have a million criticisms of Tim Scott, but he is a black dude from South Carolina, and he has a pretty good bullshit detector for this stuff. Like, he's the one guy who would speak up. Like, you remember when they were jamming all of these?
Yeah, the shitty judges in.
Right-wing judges on. And then they would put, like, an actual Nazi on from time to time. And it would be Tim Scott who would be like, well, hang on. That's pushing it a little too far.
Guys, you got a notebook where you just kept scrawling the N-word on it like a burn book. Like, come on.
Right. Jesus. Yeah, I understand every criticism of Tim Scott, and trust me, I have plenty. But he's not a fucking idiot, right? Yeah.
Like, dude, you can't have the America First Caucus where it's like, we love whites and nobody else. America first. Like, come on, man. God damn. Like, you're not even, again, like you said, they're not even trying. You're not even trying to hide the shit.
Yeah, those first 2 years where they had 51 senators, it was Tim Scott and fucking Marco Rubio who were the ones shooting down all of these explicitly white supremacist, lawyers who were trying to come through. Those two were joined at the hip. You know, again, I don't like saying a lot of positive things about Marco Rubio, but he doesn't like explicit racism.
Yeah.
He likes the wink, wink, nudge, nudge style. But yeah, it was Scott and Rubio who were the ones shooting down these insanely
obvious
racist. Yeah. Obvious racists who were being nominated. And yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Tim Scott's not a moron. Oh, you should try to join, Tim. That's a great idea.
I think he should. I think he should call it out and be like, can I join? And be like,
I believe in America first. Can I come be a part of this?
Like, Tim, when we say this, we mean it with love. No niggers allowed. I mean, are we pretending that's basically not what's happening here?
So what he has that it used to, it used to be a thing, and in the Republican Party, and you kind of have to if you're going to be a right-wing organization of any kind, is you have to be aware of like the extremist end of your belief system, right? Like, you always have to be watching that right flank and being like, yeah, you guys don't go too far, right?
Yeah, like, fucking relax.
Yeah, which used to be a way bigger part of conservative politics, which now they've thrown out the fucking window.
Oh, yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Right. But you think Tim Scott can't see through the dog whistles?
My question is, if you can see through the dog whistles, like, what does that say about your party that you're joining? Like, have you ever thought, like, does he ever think about that?
I know. It's like we were talking about in the first segment. Like, how do you, like, even if you are a black dude who is, like, a firm conservative, like, that is your belief system. Like, you firmly believe that these are the correct things.
But you also have to be like, man, there's a lot of fucking Nazis around here. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know how you square that fucking circle, dude. Like, I don't get it. I really don't understand.
If you were showing up to a political meeting with people who believe in your ideas and there was a bunch of, like, just detestable people there, like, what do we have to deal with? Like, hippies sometimes? Like,
you got to deal with, like, people thinking, like, abolish the police, like, for real makes sense. And you'd be like, all right, that's dumb. Like, that's dumb. And that's it. Like,
is it though? I mean, is it?
Yes. They just arrested a dude. The NYPD, as shitty as they are, and they're as a black man, trust me, they're the fucking worst. They just arrested a white dude in the subway with an AK-47. Yeah. No. Like, who gonna do that? Hey, I'm here as a social worker? No, I want a dude with a gun. I want a dude with a gun. Several of them, in case that guy gets happy, shoot that guy in the head. Like, seriously.
All right.
Like,
Jay, the police apologist.
Yeah, I'm for big government. Big government.
I was telling Jay, there's somebody.
Get the fuck out of here.
One of the groups I'm in, they're posting, like, these horrible dating profiles they come across. And it was this guy, like, in his army uniform being like, oh, you know, I don't trust big government. Like, you're big government.
You're the fucking, the violent arm of said big government.
It doesn't get more big government than the military, dude.
You're huge.
I can't wrap my head around that. I don't trust big government, and I love the military and the cops. Like, how do you square that circle?
You know what they really don't like? They love big government. You know what they don't like? They don't really fuck with big education, big logic, big reason, big books, big books. Like, they don't fuck with those things. That's who they don't fuck with.
This is just a scam by big books to try to make me learn things.
You're not gonna get me to buy one of your fucking products. Nice try, Jeff Bezos. Get out of here. Yeah. Big books is always lurking.
Big textbook trying to force me to learn. Get the fuck out of here, Rand McNally. Next, you're going to try to sell me one of your globes.
These aren't even flat. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, fuck. Rand McNally. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. That's fucking funny.
But yeah, on this, yeah, like Kevin McCarthy, who's the biggest cuck in the world, had to be like, no.
Yeah. The entire party was basically like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, this is ridiculous.
Even the fucking Identity Europa caucus? Get the fuck out of here. We can't do that.
Like, we will never win another vote outside of Mississippi if we do this. Actually, that's not
shit,
true.
You might even lose Mississippi.
I mean, there's a lot of black folks there. Like, damn, they if they do the America First Caucus, it doesn't matter that it's not tied to this statement. It will forever be tied to it. It will be.
Yeah. Say what you will about Mississippi, but those elections are a lot closer than you would think.
Yeah, they changed how they elect governors now. Things are going to change in Mississippi, man. They, you know, like,
yeah, I would keep an eye on Mississippi. Maybe not real soon, but I mean,
yeah.
Look at the results of the last couple of elections. They're a lot closer than you think.
Yeah, I give Mississippi 15 to 20 years, and we'll be talking about Mississippi as a swing state.
The combination of the, like, what's it, like, a third black?
33% of Mississippi is black.
Yeah, and then young white folks.
Yeah.
Like, it's that would be one to keep an eye on. I don't think it's going to be Georgia tomorrow, but
no.
But yeah.
But my big one is North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina for sure. No, I think people are. I know a guy in Mississippi, and I think they're sick of being
the butt of the joke.
Shittiest state.
They're sick of being the butt of the joke. I get it.
Yeah, they're like 48th, 49th, or 50th in everything.
Yeah. And look, we give them, you know, all those kind of states. Like, we give them all a hard time as a joke. But, like, there are good people down there, man, like, trying to make a way.
Yeah. How long can you be, like, have the worst education, the worst wages, the worst upward mobility? How long can you keep that going before you get sick of it?
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, a long time. Like, a real long time. But it's also because the old tropes of racism have worked so well, right? To paint that 33% against the otherwise wealthier, better to do, you know, that doesn't mean they're doing well, but better to do white population of Mississippi. And they've pushed those two groups against each other. And that works really well with keeping white people cool with being treated like garbage, right? And then the white people that they're using as a proxy, those white people kick down the black people there who are also trying to make it, right? So if those two groups eventually connect, you're in a world of trouble. You're in a world of trouble.
It did work, right?
Of course.
It did work for a long time. But now that we're in the age of, like, social media and people being able to communicate with other people, like, if all you know is what's right in front of your face, it's probably fine. You're like, ah, well, we'll keep those people down and we're doing better comparatively.
Right.
Right. But if you're able to see now outside of what's right in your immediate purview, like, man, hey, we're not actually doing that well.
No, we're doing real bad. Like, real bad.
Yeah. This is not working. This is working terribly for us. I would like to do better. And that's why, I mean, people flee those places in large numbers as soon as they get an education and,
yep,
you know, get some ability. But there are enough people in a place like Mississippi that care about Mississippi, right? That want it to be better, that it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, it will. People will demand it. They will. Yeah. They will just demand it. And once they have the numbers, they can make it happen. So good for them. Yeah, I look forward to it. Considering it's the most black populated state, I'd like to see more of my people get from under the fucking boot of bullshit Mississippi politics.
And that's why, you know, I'm sure, you know, we've made jokes like this on the show, but I'm really not into the idea, which is largely, you know, comes from like a white left-wing idea, like, oh, let them secede. We've all made those jokes, right? But I really don't want that. And I don't want to just cut it loose. I think we could make it better for those places.
I am not joking when I say Texas can secede. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them. But if we...
I don't give a shit. Florida too, but just that's just reputation. Like, we don't need, they are hurting us just internationally. They are making us look like fools getting rid of them.
But if we're going to renewable energy, right? If we're going to solar energy, what's going to be better for that than the Sun Belt?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They will become incredibly important.
We could make that whole area the energy epicenter of the country.
Yeah.
Because it's hot. Yeah.
It's just sun. It's just sun and racism. And if we can just get racism under control, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you could tamp down the racism a little bit if you're doing better financially, I think.
Yeah.
You're not, that doesn't get rid of it.
I mean, the race helps. I mean, the racism is part of the heat, right? Like, that's just what keeps people going. Like, woof, so hot. I mean, I hate that guy, but it's just so hot outside.
The theory I've had for a while is that racism is based on sunburns. Which is... God damn it! This hurts and I hate it. Who doesn't have to deal with it? Well, I hate you.
I mean, that makes sense for all the redhead Bostonites, right? Like, why Boston has, like, weirdly, like, a ton of racism up there. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I know, you're right. When has Boston ever seen the sun? Maybe it's not. Maybe that you've cut a hole in my theory.
No, because it does. You know, Boston does get the sun. You don't need a lot up there because everybody is super pale and they burn immediately. Black people. They're fucking mad about it. Right? It doesn't take a lot. In the South, they are just being cooked to death because the sun is, I don't know, 4 feet from the ground. And so they're just mad all the time. Henceforth, racism is even worse. It's even worse.
You're just walking around without a shirt on? Oh, I hate you.
God damn it.
I have to wear full long sleeves all August, dude, or I'll die.
I until today, I had the weirdest thought about a neighbor of mine. He's a white guy with red hair. He lives right across the street from me. And
ew.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. And he lives right across the street from me. And like, he's a really fair skinned guy, right? And he has red hair. He cuts his grass with a ski cap on. And I'm like, it's hot outside. What are you doing? Are you some sort of like cool dude, bro, asshole? Like, what are you doing? But I realize his head probably burns like shit when he's out there for 9 minutes. So he keeps a ski cap on. It could be 75 or it could be 95 in the summer. That dude is cutting his grass. And I'm like, I mean, one, dude, just wear a baseball cap. Like, you don't have to wear a ski cap, but he wears a ski cap. I guess to like,
yeah,
keep his little delicate recessive gene ears from burning as well. But
yeah, get a nice sun hat or a cowboy hat.
Nah, yo, if a white guy's wearing a cowboy hat in my neighborhood, I'm moving. Get the fuck out of here. No, you wear a gardener's hat. That shit's got to be floppy.
That's fine. Something with a big bill. Either way.
Yeah, a sombrero. I would accept a sombrero.
One of them Chinese hats, what do you call those?
No, don't do that. Dude, if a white guy comes out of his house with a sombrero on, I'm going to yell at that guy. Yo, go back inside. Get the fuck
out. I don't care.
Racism is over.
I just, the size of this thing. It covers my shoulders. Fine with it.
They were right about something. Last but certainly not least this week, poll says...
Full headwear.
Poll says that more Texans would vote for Matthew McConaughey over Greg Abbott for governor.
What the fuck?
All right, all right, all right. Enough. No. Okay? No, dude. This guy is not cut out to be governor of Texas. Have you heard his political stances on things? He is annoying. And I like Matthew McConaughey.
Right down the middle. Yeah, I took plenty of people on the left side of the road, plenty of people on the right side of the road. There's a bunch of room right down the middle.
I mean,
you come down here with me.
I mean, but that's his argument, though. Like, it's literally his political stance is,
I know,
he's a radical centrist. Yeah.
What is his actual positions on anything, though? Like, weed is good?
Probably. Have you ever played bongos on weed naked, bro? Like, yeah, that's not a political stance, Matthew.
You know what? I'd take it.
Look, over Greg Abbott, sure.
If it's McConaughey or a Republican, I'd take McConaughey.
Yeah, of course I would. I'm not pleased about it because I don't like celebrities running for office with no experience. I mean, this is better than running for president, I guess. But I don't need Matthew McConaughey running for president. Like, I don't. I really don't. So I stand by that. While 56% of Republicans said they would vote for Abbott and only 30% for McConaughey, yo, 30% of Republicans said they would vote for Matthew McConaughey. That's crazy. Insane. Among Democrats, the pro-McConaughey camp is 66% compared to 8% for Abbott. Independents favor McConaughey over Abbott.
Whoa. 8% of Democrats would vote for Abbott, though?
That's Texas. Ugh. Yeah. But check this out. Here's where the rub really is. Independents favor McConaughey over Abbott 44% to 28%.
Jesus Christ.
Hey. All right.
Well,
hey, Beto.
Governor McConaughey.
Hey, Beto. Run. Run for governor. Like, this is clearly Abbott could lose. Run. Beat McConaughey if you can, and run. That being said, if Matthew McConaughey beats Greg Abbott, that's embarrassing. Like, that's really embarrassing, man. Like I like Matthew McConaughey over the last couple of years. He's done some really great roles, but relax. Relax. This is fucking nuts. I really don't want an influx of celebrities as governors and presidents anymore. we've already had two Republican presidents who were celebrities, and they were both fucking terrible. Both.
So are you not going to vote for President The Rock Johnson?
I don't want to. I don't want to. But again, I'm a pragmatic person. If it's him versus a Republican, yeah.
You got Dwayne Johnson or Ted Cruz, you're going to angrily
dude,
vote for Dwayne Johnson.
No, not even angrily. Not even angrily. Proudly. Proudly. I proudly stand up next to him and defend.
I smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, like, I proudly stand up next to him and defend her still today. Like, no, get out of here. Like, The Rock, 100%. I'd be like, Black Adam was an awesome movie. I always supported it. I always did. I love you, man. The Rock versus Ted Cruz. That's actually a blowout, by the way. That's a blowout. Like, Ted Cruz would get destroyed. He'd get destroyed in that race.
What about your reservations about voting for a celebrity with no experience?
No, I
hate it. Doesn't matter about my reservations.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm all in. I get a Dwayne The Rock Johnson fathead for the studio. Like, let's go. President The Rock. God damn it. That really bothers me. No, he ran against Ted Cruz. I'm not sure there's a bigger blowout in American history. I'm telling you, I'm not sure there is. People hate Ted Cruz. And people really like The Rock. Like, if Matthew McConaughey can get 30% of Republicans in Texas, holy shit, dude. That's crazy. That's crazy. He's going to run. He's going to fucking run. And he's going to win. And that's a really bad look for Texas. Like, it is, man. It is. And look, unless this guy is, like, so fucking charming, he can figure out how to, like, thread the needle, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I put no faith in him to be a good governor.
Texans love Matthew McConaughey, though.
They love that guy. They love it.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I do. I like him, just not for president. Like, or for office. Like, I don't want him. Start as a representative, man. Run for dog catcher, something. Like, don't run for fucking governor. That's a lot. Yo, governor of the second largest state is crazy. Like, that's a lot, man. That's a lot.
You know what's a great experiment for this? And we see it all the time, honestly. Is when a celebrity decides to be the mayor of their town.
Yeah, do that first.
Yeah, give it a shot. Let people see what you can do.
Yeah.
If you're a disaster, then that's fine. But, like, like Kane, you know, he's the mayor of Knoxville. He's probably going to run for governor of Tennessee at some point, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, that's what Jesse Ventura did.
Yeah, and he won.
Yeah, he was a mayor, and then he became the governor of Minnesota.
Which was crazy.
It was crazy. But, you know.
Whatever.
I mean, politics aside, just looking at the actual path there, that's at least respectable.
Yes, I'm okay with that.
I'm going to become a mayor and show you what I do running a thing. And if you think I'm good at this thing, then you can give me the promotion.
Yep.
And that's fine.
Yep. Yep.
Going from I run my money laundering business poorly straight to president is not something I'm into.
Yep. I'm not. No. Like, no, you know, like, you can't just be in a Christopher Nolan movie and then be fucking president. Like, stop it. Stop it. Also, just give, like, if we're going celebrities, going straight to major office, why isn't Denzel Washington running for president? Like, get the fuck out of here. He deserves it. He's been around long enough.
I like Denzel, but again, I would run something smaller.
Yeah. Because I don't need you fucking up Texas, man. I really don't. I just, can you just, like, fuck up, like you said, like, just fuck up your small town.
How easy would it be to be mayor of Austin if you're Matthew McConaughey?
Dude, super easy.
That's a cakewalk.
That's a cakewalk. Absolutely.
You wouldn't have to run a single ad.
No. he could do all of his ads driving the Lincoln. you ever thought about driving a Lincoln down Austin, you know, whatever highway? Yeah, I'm running for mayor. Like, that's it. Who gives a fuck?
I'm a McConaughey for mayor. Yeah. It'll be all right, all right, all right. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Look, that's probably what he's going to do for governor. Like, he will, dude. If he doesn't say all right, all right, all right as his, like, slogan, what are we even doing? What are we even doing? What are we even doing? Like, come on, man. Like, I don't need this. I really don't. I hate the idea of just, like, you're really good at movies. Like, you're good at lying, so I guess you could be good as a politician, too. Fuck off. That's just dumb. This is stupid.
No. Do a term as mayor of Austin.
Yeah. That, to me, makes all sense. Even if you said, look, I'm only going to do, you know, 4 years or whatever it is down there, and then, like, then I'm going to run for governor. All right. Cool. If Austin doesn't become a complete shit show, then, you know, then I'll support you. But, no, I don't support you. I don't support you doing that shit. Like, jumping right off the bat. Like, that's fucking bullshit. No thanks. No thank you. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how the scheduling goes.
Well.
I told you I was going to be here next week, and that was 3 weeks ago, so maybe.
Yeah. He lies to you guys. He doesn't care anything about any of you. It's sad.
No, that's true. I don't give a fuck.
See? Told you.
I'm just here when Brad can't make it.
Well, yeah, you're the, you know what? Ironically, at the end of all of this, you're the designated hitter.
Oh, fuck you, man.
That's right. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.